The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of We Got Next here on the MMA Fighting Podcast Network. Appreciate you checking out the show. I am Mike Heck. This should be a fun one. And this will not be a long intro because I don't have much of a voice. And the reason for that is because it's been a very busy day. But on top of that, we recorded the second BTL championship matchup in the tournament between Jose Youngs and Phoenix Carnevale. And it was epic. Legendary. And you will hear that and see that episode premiere on our YouTube channel at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Same with the podcast. We're going to simultaneously drop them, recapping UFC 268, previewing UFC Vegas 42, previewing Bellator 271, and much more. And let's get right into the show this week, because speaking of a busy weekend in combat sports, Bellator 271 in particular, two fighters from that card, and also a fighter competing on Friday's BKFC 22 fight card as well. Later on the show, we'll talk to Britton Hart. She is back. What a year she has had, beating Paige VanZant, beating Jenny Savage. This Friday, she fights Pearl Gonzalez in a fight that, unbeknownst to us at the time, her and I actually kind of set up, because I was out at BKFC 19 covering that event. Talked to Britton Hart if she beat Jenny Savage. Brought up Pearl Gonzalez's name. What are your thoughts on a fight with Pearl? She said, sure, I would love an easy fight like that. This thing blew up into craziness. Pearl Gonzalez told me, you'll see that interview on our YouTube page not too long from now, before the fight for sure. She told me that Daniel Cormier, the former UFC light heavyweight and heavyweight champion, you all know who DC is, actually watched the interview and sent it to her. So she got to see exactly how Britton Hart felt. Britton Hart feels a lot. She feels a lot of things about Pearl Gonzalez, and you'll hear that to wrap up the show this week. Valerie Lareda is going to join us. She is back this Friday, Bellator 271, taking on Taylor Turner. She's coming off the first professional loss of her career. She's made a lot of changes. She's very intense. She's happy to fight in a hometown fight in South Florida. She's fired up, and you'll hear that conversation coming up in around 19 minutes or so. Just throwing it out there. But first, speaking of Bellator 271, in a fight that I'm looking forward to the most in terms of being on paper, this one's a good one. Big one at 145 pounds. The undefeated Justin Gonzalez makes his second Bellator appearance, and he's going to take on this man, our first guest on the show this week, the surging Aaron Pico.
All All right, let us welcome back to the program Aaron Pico, who is back in action Friday, November 12th, Bellator 271. What a matchup this is, taking on the undefeated Justin Gonzalez in Hollywood, Florida. Aaron, good to see you, my man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Everything's going well. Yeah, no complaints here. Just living life.
There you go. So first question I have for you, and I had this question immediately once the fight was confirmed. It has to do with the matchup itself, because after your win over Aiden Lee, you were open to a lot of options. You have respect for the promotional matchmaking, of course, but a part of you was hoping for the rematch with Adam Borich, the number three ranked guy in your division in the Bellator rankings. And now you get an undefeated guy, a prospect, second fight with the promotion. This is the fight you were offered. You accepted. You're a company guy, but when the name was first presented to you, were you happy with that, or were you hoping for someone ranked a little bit higher?
To be honest with you, I really don't have any feelings towards it. I just said, okay, let's fight. He's a tough guy. I think it's a good style matchup for me. I look at it, I can go out there and display my skills. I haven't fought a high level wrestler. He's pretty high level. He wrestled D1. So I'm really excited to go out there and test my skills against him. Of course, I think after this fight, God willing, everything goes well, we get the victory, I'm going to fight guys that are in front of me. The only guy that I will fight that's not in the rankings, that I will risk fighting, is Henry Corrales. I'll fight Henry Corrales, who's not in the rankings or anything like that, just to get a rematch. But moving forward, I want to fight guys that are in front of me. So it is what it is. There's a lot of pressure on me because I'm ranked ahead of him. He has really nothing to lose and everything to gain. I have everything to lose. But look at my last four fights. I've been in the same spot. So it's just another day at the office for me. But I'm excited for this matchup. I really am. He feels that he can win. He's very, very confident. I feel I can win. So there's only one way to settle this. That's to go fight. So it's all good.
He made his debut on the same card that you got that win over Aiden Lee. And I asked him if the winner of your fight, because it hadn't happened yet, obviously, would interest him. And he essentially said, no disrespect, I'm the guy here now. I'm the guy in this division moving forward. And, you know, you've been there, you get your first Bellator win, you beat a tough guy, you're feeling on top of the world. So yeah. What do you make of that statement? One win and he's the king of the division now.
Hey, it is what it is. Well, he'll learn really quick. And to be honest with you, it really sucks because I thought he lost that fight. I've watched that fight probably 10 times. We've broken this guy down, all the coaches, but I don't know how he won that fight, to be honest with you. I mean, that sucks for Tywon Claxton. I thought he won. Let me ask you a question. How do you see him beating me, to be honest with you, other than just looking for a big shot and landing a crazy shot? Do you see him out wrestling me? Do you see him out striking me? Do you see his cardio being better than mine? Like, let me ask, how do you think he'll beat me?
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm with you. Like, I love how you're putting me on the spot, by the way. I really love the fight. Like, I love the matchup. Yeah. It made sense from a promotional standpoint and from a matchmaking perspective. I was a little curious because, you know, the rankings, they do mean something. You're a top five guy in the Bellator rankings. You wanted the Borich fight, and he was scheduled, and then his fight fell out. So part of me thought they were just going to go back to that well. But it's an interesting test, man. Like, it's not a Bellator likes to, as you know, with the prospects, you build them a certain way, you showcase them a certain way, and you let them build their brand, so to speak. To throw him into this fight with you in his second Bellator fight is a pretty big deal. And I agree with you that the pressure's on him. I mean, the pressure's on you more so, and he's kind of playing with house money. So that's the way I look at it. So I don't know, man, like I'm not the big breakdown guy. I think obviously you're striking.
I mean, put you on the spot.
Oh no, it's all good.
I look at it like this. One, I can get the takedown. I will get the takedown eventually. He may stop it five times, but I'm going to just be relentless with that. Let's just say I can't get the takedown. And we have to strike. I feel my striking is better than him. I feel my cardio is better than him. My grappling is a lot better. So I feel in a very, very comfortable spot. But don't take that for granted. Don't think that I'm going to go out there and I can just do whatever I want. My hands are going to be up. My chin's going to be down. And I'm going to be focused. Because I respect him. I really do. He's 12-0 for a reason. He's undefeated as an amateur. This guy's no slouch. But I just feel like I'm better in every aspect of MMA. yeah, my record is 8-3, but look at the competition that I fought early on. I fought a lot of tough guys. I've been in the organization all my career, and I feel ready. Honestly, I feel really good. From my last fight to this fight now, I feel like I've made a lot of improvements. So it's going to be interesting. It really is.
I feel like his best chance to win, and I'm sure you're ready for this, he has to make this as dirty and as grueling and as gritty as possible, which at times you've been in that fire before, right? So do you feel like that's something you're going to have to expect here and prepare for? Like, not just, I mean, obviously if you're out in space and you're doing your thing and he lets you get off, it could be a long night for him. But at the same time, if he gets in your face and makes this a gritty, grueling, dirty fight, it's probably his best chance. Kind of like the Claxton fight. He made things really grueling and gritty and was able to inch it out on a couple of the judges' scorecards. So are you prepared for that? Like, not just like a slugfest, but just a grueling, grinding pace of a fight.
Of course. Yeah, of course I'm ready for that. And I feel, I'm ready for anything, to be honest with you. Ready for, I can go 25 minutes and go 15 minutes. My cardio is what I take pride in. So that's one thing that I have to my advantage. But also my wrestling. I feel my wrestling is a lot better than him. And I saw Claxton take him down. And one thing about Claxton, let him up. Now you look at my last fight, I let the guy get up 5 or 6 times. And that was I got drilled by Greg Jackson about that. So now we've made a lot of adjustments. Guys aren't getting up anymore. They're really not. I take you down. And if you do get up, it's going to be grueling for you. It's not going to just be, okay, get up. It's going to be, I'm going to be looking to bring you down and make it grueling for them as well. So I've worked on a lot of things. It's going to be a fun fight. I'm really excited for it. I really, really am.
Seems like a lot has changed since the Aiden Lee fight, but a lot has happened in your life outside of fighting since the victory. You're a dad now. You welcomed a baby boy into the world, right? How has that been so far?
It's been awesome. It's been definitely just life-changing. It's awesome. I enjoy being a dad. My wife and I are really, really excited. And yeah, it's the best feeling in the world. Honestly, I can't even describe it.
There's a quote that I grew up in the Boston area. One of my favorite Boston sports reporters says a lot, and actually said it to me when I met him a few years ago. He said that when you become a parent, when you see the baby for the first time, you find out what your purpose in life truly is, that you almost figure out right there and then why you were put on this earth and what you were put on this earth to do. And you seem to have had a lot of those things figured out anyways, but how would you say life has changed? Like, how much more focused and motivated are you that you have added the title of dad to your job description?
Yeah. As far as being motivated to win and stuff like that, I've always had that within me. I started wrestling when I was 4 years old and started competing at a high, like at nationals, like around 6 years old. So I've always been motivated to be the best. For me, I just want to be a great father. That's a big goal of mine, is just be there for my son. I'm motivated to like go out there and make money, because I want to be able to support him in whatever he wants to do. He wants to be a tennis player, he wants to be a golf player, he wants to drive go-karts, whatever he wants to do, ride horses. I want to be able to support him and be able to give him a good foundation to whatever direction in life he wants to go. But I have big shoes to fill, to be honest with you. You know, my parents were there for me, really supported me. My dad was a great father, very supportive. And I just, you know, I want to be a good father like my dad was. And it's going to be a crazy, fun journey that I'm really excited about. So, for me, my purpose is just to be a good father, go out there and do my job. I know why I'm fighting, but I got to stay focused and I got to stay in the process and go out there and win and just live a good life and be a great father. Those are my goals.
I can tell you from experience that when you're holding a baby, like you can't, it's hard to imagine life 8 years later. Like when they're like people and they're talking and you get to do stuff with them. Like, have you thought about what you're looking forward to the most being a dad?
Honestly, just whatever my son decides to do, just being able to, for example, like my dad, I grew up wrestling, you know, one thing that I really admire and about my dad is that we were at every wrestling tournament. We went to, you know, we traveled the country, we traveled the world together, and just having those moments where it was just him and I, and being able to have good conversations. And I remember being a kid, my dad would be in the backyard. We just talk for hours. I would tell him my goals. I want to be world champion in boxing. I want to be world champion in MMA. You know, I want to have a ranch one day. I want to have horses. I look forward to that with my son one day. You know, like I said, I'm not going to be honest with you. I don't want him to fight. But whatever he decides to do, whether that be, you know, riding horses, playing golf, wherever, I just look forward to the fun travels life takes you and the cool places that we're going to get to go, the good conversations, the lots of room service and, you know, going to museums and just traveling the world. That's one thing I look forward to when he grows older. So, like I said, whatever he decides to do, I'm going to be there. My wife is going to be there, and we're going to be a good support system like my parents were.
Well said. In terms of your professional career, you got this big fight November 12th at the Hard Rock. How do you see this all playing out? I don't know if you're in the prediction game, but, you know, how you seeing it in your mind?
If I had the answers, I would not be so nervous, on edge, and so focused. But I got to just keep, you know, chin down, hands up, be focused, and let the fight happen. That's one thing Greg has told me. He's now, you know, move your feet, work off your jab, and the fight's going to open up for you. So, wherever I feel I can take the fight, I feel I can take the fight on the ground. I can keep it standing. I feel confident. My cardio is good. So we'll have to see. That's for everybody to tune in.
True or false, you have your post-fight suit picked out and ready to go.
Shout out to David August and Micah over there at David August Clothing. They have a nice suit getting made right now. So I really, really appreciate those guys over there at David August and just genuine good people. So, yep, I have my suit ready.
There you go. A few last things before we let you go. First, AJ McKee, your good friend, is a world champion. What a performance he had. And I'm sure you watched that one very closely. I know you guys aren't going to be fighting or anything like that, but what was that moment like for you to watch AJ go out there, get a finish like that in front of his home crowd and become a world champion?
Well, I wonder if I'm being completely honest, my son was born literally like right then and there. So I wasn't even on my phone or watching anything. I saw it after, you know, he was born, and I congratulated him. I sent him a picture of my son. I said, man, we both have the greatest, it's a great day for both of us. I just had my son. You just won a world championship. Enjoy it. I feel bad because I didn't watch it, but my wife was in labor. So, I couldn't do much, but like I said, I talked to him it was a good day. I was really happy for him. Him and his father. I mean, AJ's, for me, I feel AJ is one of the top five pound for pound fighters in the world. Honestly, he's very, very good. He's been around the sport a long time. He's very well coached with his dad. Him and Antonio have a really good bond. And I'm just really happy for him. And he's going to be a tough guy to beat. I don't really see how. I mean, how do you beat him? How do you beat him? You know?
Yeah. And one of the things I enjoy about speaking with you about is you're a huge fight fan. Like, you're not just a fighter, you're a huge fight. You watch fights all the time. You're a true student of the game. But like you said, he's in that discussion right now of being one of the best pound for pound fighters on the planet. And he's in the conversation of being one of the best featherweights in the world. And we book these fantasy fights all the time. Like, what would happen if McKee fought Volkanovski or if he fought Max Holloway? Like, how do you think he would stack up against those guys?
I think he would win. I think, honestly, I really believe he would win. He's very, very good. That's what a lot of people don't realize. He's very, very good. He's got he's dangerous on the bottom. He's dangerous on top. He's got the length. He's got the fight IQ. He's relaxed in there. I mean, he's a really, really, he's a great fighter. I'm really like impressed with him. You know, how good he is, how calm he can be, because he may be very nervous and scared, but he sure doesn't look like it. You know, he keeps a, you know, very calm demeanor in there, and he just makes, you know, the right decisions, you know, and that's fighting, is making the right decisions at the right time. And it seems like he makes the right decisions every single time. But back to your question, I think he would beat Volkanovski. I really do. I wish there was a way that we could all see it. You know, one day, hopefully it'd be cool to see Bellator crossover and fight UFC fighter. We'll see. We don't know what the future holds. The sport is crazy, but he's a very, very good fighter and somebody that I admire in the sport. I really do. I hope to get as relaxed in the cage as he is, because it will be good for me. You know, I can make a lot of things happen in there if I can just get the fight IQ of AJ McKee for sure.
Before your last fight, I spoke with Brandon Gibson and we talked about the similarities he sees between yourself and Carlos Condit. And I believe the quote he used was, they both have an affinity for violence when they're in the cage. And Carlos obviously recently announced his retirement from the sport after a legendary career. What was your reaction to that? And how much similarity do you see between yourself and a guy like Carlos Condit?
Yeah, I think I'm very happy with Carlos. He's a legend and on all the things that he's done in the sport, somebody that I look up to. He's been in, you know, took GSP to basically nearly defeated him. It was a close fight. I just think that him and I are very similar. We love fighting. You know, he's always in the gym. He's always willing to help people out. He's, you know, giving, you know, people tips and stuff. He's just a good guy. And I wish him nothing but the best on retirement. And he's a legend and one of the guys that has really helped the sport of MMA. So, yeah, shout out to Carlos.
And then lastly, and if you want to ignore me or tell me to kick rocks, go right ahead, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you this question. But recently, one of your coaches, Mike Winklejohn, revealed that John Jones is not welcome in the gym. It's a place you call home. It's changed your life and career. You talked about the importance of that. And, you know, you and John have worked together. There's photos of the two of you guys. And I just wanted to get your reaction, not everything going on with John personally, because that's none of our business, but just his presence not being there and your coach's decision and the impact it's had on Jackson Wink from your perspective.
Yeah, John is, you know, I wish John nothing but the best. John has been a very good help to me, helping me as a fighter, breaking things down. And, you know, he's just has a really good fight IQ. He's one of the greatest of all time. But John is getting healthy. John is getting healthy. He seems like he's getting better. And I wish John nothing but the best. And, you know, I believe he's going to be heavyweight world champion. He's very, very good. So, yeah, John is healing and seems to be in great spirits. So that's all. I don't know anything about what goes on other than how he's treating me. And he's gonna bounce back and shock a lot of people in the heavyweight division. So I'm excited for him.
Understandable. Last quick thing. How's your golf game these days? I know you're going to hit the links for your brother's birthday. I think you said you're going to give it the old college try. How'd you do? How's your golf swing these days? I know you're not playing as much these days.
No, not too much. I like golf. I really do. My dad and brother and my, our good friend, they all play golf. I think it's just an excuse for me to just hang out on the golf course and smoke a cigar and have a beer. So it's good time.
Awesome. Aaron, I appreciate the time as always. Thank you very much. All the best to you rest of this camp and on November 12th, man. I assume I'm ready for it. I'm excited to see what that suit looks like.
I appreciate it. I'm excited too. So thank you for the time and everybody tune in November 12th.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Let us say hello to Valerie Lareda. She's back inside the Bellator cage this Friday, Bellator 271, taking on Taylor Turner, and she'll do so in her backyard, right down the street, Hollywood, Florida, just a hop, skip, and a jump from Miami. Valerie, good to see you. How are you?
Hi, nice to see you. I'm so excited to be here in the Miami heat and looking forward to this fight.
There you go. I mean, this is nice, right? Some hometown flavor, Bellator going to South Florida for the first time. I mean, obviously this is a no-brainer to get you on this card. When you found out that was the case, hometown fight, how did you react to that?
I have to be on that card, you know, because they were going to put me on a card in October in Arizona. And I saw that there was no, like, I didn't have an opponent. Nothing was really happening. And then I found out Bellator was coming to the Hard Rock. I'm like, please, I have to be on that card.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And this will obviously be your first fight since the loss to Hannah Guy in May. Obviously, not the way you drew it up. You had your moments. You got to show a lot of toughness, a lot of grit in that fight, dealing with the arm bars. And then a couple days later, you go on Instagram, you got this huge cast on your arm, almost took your entire arm. If you don't mind me asking, what was the actual injury? I know you mentioned some ligament damage, but was there anything more in depth?
Yeah, it was just a grade 2 sprain in my LCL and a grade 2 strain in my biceps. And I needed no surgery or anything, just intense rehab and a lot of work on my health and my mental health. But it was tough. But I got over it and I'm here better than ever. And I'm so excited to perform.
On that story, you said, I feel like a fighter now after that loss. I mean, there's another word in that statement as well that I'm not going to repeat, but what did you mean by that? There was a lot of passion in those words. What did they mean? What did they mean to you? I feel like a fighter now.
You know, that was the first fight I was really tested on the ground. And that girl was tough. And she was just attacking submission after submission. She's not better than me. And I would like to fight her again at some point. But I felt like a fighter because I showed my heart. I showed that I won't give up. And I'll break my arm in there. I'll do whatever I have to. But I'm not going to tap. I'm going to keep fighting. And I was 22 years old then. I just turned 23. And I chose to be in a platform where the world would watch me develop into a mixed martial artist in front of their eyes, you know? So I know people are tough on me, but I know also I did this to myself and I'm going to continue to do it. You know, it's part of developing into a full, well-rounded athlete, and I changed my camp. Everything's been amazing. So I'm looking forward to getting back in the cage.
What do you mean by change your camp? Just change things up altogether? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I changed my head coach. You know, I know there was a whole thing about the way I was spoken to in the corner, that's not the reason why. You know, there was a lot more reasons why beyond that, you know, but that was just kind of like added to it. Like the way I was spoken to in that corner is the negativity I heard every single day in my camp. It's very tough to be a young girl, you know, and have these sponsorships and, you know, these modeling gigs and all of this. And people think I get it easier. Actually, I get it harder, you know? And I realized that I don't need a negative enforcement. I need positive reinforcement. I need a good team that supports me and has my back and, you know, believes in me, because the whole world is doubting me. So why should people close to me like be so negative with me? You know, I do have amazing groundwork. I have amazing defense. And after this fight, I had the confidence to say, Valerie, you know, if you keep doing the same thing, that's the definition of insanity, right? So I had to change it up. And here I am, and I'm so excited to be back in here.
So who are you training with now?
So my head coach is Thiago Alves, Pitbull, and okay. Cattell, and American Top Team. I've been working with Mako, Coach Brown, Mike Brown for my grappling, and Coach Pahumpa for my jiu-jitsu. So I'm really excited.
You talked about how you've spent this time trying to fix your health and fix your mental health. Mm-hmm. What in particular have you had to work on from a mental mm-hmm. standpoint?
You know, from a mental standpoint, when I got into the sport, you know, I had this like gut instinct that I've always followed, you know, and it was my style, my base. And I always told myself no one could change that for me. And then I realized that because I was only 3-0 in a gym full of all these stars, I lost my confidence to say that I knew what was best for me as a martial artist. You know, I've been competing my whole life. I've been in Taekwondo my whole life. So really had to get back to who Valerie Loretta is and my core values as a woman and as a martial artist. And that's what I've done. And I've never felt more calm and happy. This is my 5th pro fight for Bellator. So I'm just excited and enjoying this in Miami. And just being able to do this in front of my friends and family is just an honor for me.
Yeah, I was at ATT not too long ago on a sparring day, and you were there working your tail off, and there was definitely a look in your eye. There was an intensity to you that mm-hmm. it felt a little different, a focus, if you will. And you were very spongy, like the sparring ended and you were still there asking Thiago mm-hmm. all those questions and mm-hmm. just trying to take in as much information as possible. Like what mm-hmm. would you say besides that, it's been the biggest change you've made, besides the coaching as well, since the Hannah Guy fight?
You know, it's what bothered me about that fight, you know, there's like every champion loses, like nobody's really undefeated in this sport, right? But it wasn't the fact that I lost. It was that I lost to someone who I know wasn't better than, you know? And that's what really like hurt me and broke my heart. And after the loss of the fight, it was the worst grief I've been through in my life, because martial arts is my identity. It's all I know. Like on my free time, like there's nothing I like to do. Like people think like, there's nothing I like to do that's not martial arts. Like there's nothing I like to do that's not being in the gym or like just feeling hurt. You know, it's a sick obsession that I have. So it was tough for me to lose to someone who I know I shouldn't have lost to, because I know my talent is so much more. But it also, the last time I lost was as an amateur, and it forced me to grow and change my camp and make decisions for myself. And, you know, after this fight, I became my own boss again of my career and also my business. And I've developed so much. And also I've realized that my happiness in my life is not defined whether I win or lose a fight. You know, I can't live like that. So I had to learn that people love me for who I am, not just because I am a fighter. And that has given me just the happiness and motivation to like feel free and feel comfortable going back into a camp and losing this way. And just doing this because I love it. Because at the end of the day, I don't have to do this. You know, I could go into broadcast journalism. I could be an actress tomorrow. I could be in movies. I could do modeling. I could be a professional dancer. I could go into Dancing with the Stars. But I've chosen to be in a sport where they hit me in the face every single day, because I know there's something in my heart that's telling me I'm a true athlete and I'm a competitor and I'm going to have that belt for Bellator one day.
And now you're going to get Taylor Turner, who's a veteran. She's been here before. She's been around the block a few times. She's got some wins under her belt. She's been in there with some tough competition, the Alejandra Lauers of the world. Do you know a lot about her? Did the opponent even matter at all?
I mean, she's 5'10 and 5'3. She's huge. She's 38. She has a lot more experience than me. So I want to see who causes a setup fight. Like, say this is a setup fight. You know, like, the media, oh, it's a setup. No, it's not. You know, like, I'm not. I'm 23. This is going to be my fifth fight professionally. I did 3 amateur fights, and I've done miracles with my experience. But my training and my heart, I believe that I could grow putting myself in positions like this, because I am worthy. I'm a champion, and I could do it. I know I could do it. I train hard to do it, and I truly love it, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to win on Friday.
Yeah, one thing about Taylor is she's the definition of kill or be killed. Her fights do not go to the judges, win or lose. And after going 15 tough minutes in your last fight, do you feel like, I mean, not a setup, obviously, but do you feel like this is the perfect sort of stylistic fight for you to bounce back with in terms of styles, opponent, et cetera?
Any fight they give me right now, because every girl's going to go off my last loss, right? By like basically submission. I want to see someone take me down, because I promise you I'm going to submit you. Like I'm just, at this point, I'm a jiu-jitsu fighter. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but I'm confident in my stand-up. I'm even more confident in my ground right now. I'm looking forward for someone to take me down, because I want to be on the floor and I want to win by submission. And I think that's my biggest weapon, that people are going to underestimate me and not know how much I've really trained and learned from my past fight. And that's where they're going to make a mistake, and that's where I'm going to take advantage and win.
So we're still going to see the jumping spin kicks and the flying spinning stuff? Like,
oh, that's,
you love
thing.
It's fun.
The flying stuff, my last fight, you know, I threw in the last round out of desperation, and in my corner was like, you're terrible on the ground. And it was just, everything was wrong. Everything was wrong. That's not me. When I usually throw something like that, it's because I know it'll land. I did it out of desperation because I knew I was losing the rounds, and I know my spinning backfist, which landed like 2-3 times. Okay, I missed the other one, big deal, you know? But the fact that I have the ability to do things like that, I'm an entertainer. Like, whether I lost, people enjoyed that fight. You know, it's 15 minutes of, like, what's going to happen? You know, I'm getting out of this. I jump this way. I get up. I'm still throwing hands. And I throw a spinning kick that I miss, and she gets my back. You know, it's fun. Like, at the end of the day, I'm an entertainer. And I do this for the fans and for the media. So I hope everyone enjoys watching me fight. And, you know, I'm going to win whether people like it or not.
Is this the most relaxed you've been heading into a fight? I mean, you're intense, but there, you seem more relaxed in the last couple of times I've talked to you.
I'm just completely like focused. I know what I want. I know what I can do. I know my abilities, and, you know, I know I'm a warrior of God, and I've been doing this my whole life, and now I lost. I don't even have pressure anymore. Like, my biggest pressure before was all being undefeated. Like, I never said I wanted to be undefeated. I always said I wanted to be one of the best entertainers in the sports history. And that's what I'm going to continue doing. I'm going to grow. I'm not saying I'm not going to lose again in the future. It's going to happen. You know, like, this is MMA. It's unpredictable. But every fight, I promise to give the fans an amazing show and give the best of Abby Doretta.
So how do we get this thing done? How do we prove the family and friends right? Prove the doubters wrong? How do you send the hometown faithful into a frenzy on Friday?
Just believing in myself and just executing my game plan. And just being funny and passionate about being in the cage.
Nice. And then last thing for me, we're not looking past Friday, obviously, but I know you want to be more active. You want to get in there as much as possible. You're enjoying it right now. What's the goal for 2022? Is there get in there three times? Like, is there specific goals in MMA you have set for the next 12 or so months?
Mm-hmm. So after this fight, I'm going to spend time off with my family. My sister turns 21, you know, at Christmas. I'm fighting on my dad's birthday, actually. So it's just crazy. My dad's going to corner me. So I want to spend time with my family for the end of the holidays. And then next year, I want to get in there three times. And I want to start earning my way into the top of the rankings. And I'm gonna prove a lot of people wrong.
All right. Well, Valerie, thank you so much. I know you got a busy week ahead of you. It's fight week. And looking forward to seeing you back in there against Taylor Turner on Friday night. Thank you for the time, especially so close to the fight. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right. Let us say hello once again to the walking and talking Britton Hart. Very busy, of course, because it is fight week for BKFC once again. She's back this Friday. BKFC 22 in Miami, taking on Pearl Gonzalez. Big fight at 125 pounds. Britton, good to see you as always. How are you?
Oh, hey, I'm so good. As you can see, I'm walking in Miami. It's crazy. I'm walking my dog. So everyone say hi to my little Frenchie Margot. But we're walking. It's beautiful weather. And we're actually on our way to the press conference, which is where I will be fighting this Friday. So it's just like super exciting. I feel good. And again, it's just like such a blessed feeling to be out in the like really beautiful day, even being busy and running around. It's nice to be in sunshine.
Absolutely. So this will be a little bit of practice for the press conference. It's nice to have you back. And the last time we saw you compete, you were out getting married on fight week. You come back a couple of days later and you stop Jenny Savage at a huge BKFC 19 event. Anything exciting happened during this fight week? Although you set the bar kind of impossibly high last time.
I know, right? Well, it was crazy because Paige VanZant was my birthday. That fight was my birthday. So, whoa. And then I'm getting married. Whoa. And, you know, for this one, you know, it is a different variable in it. It's a, you know, definitely different mental stressors. You know, Joey had his fight last week. So doing that together and being together on that and picking up the pieces together. So that kind of is like one of those things I think that's motivating me to, you know, to keep it together and win and do this, you know, for him. And of course, my family and everybody back home as well. So, yeah, it's a little bit different, life situations going on right now. But always something, always ready. You know, that's kind of like the story of why I have a Phoenix. You know, no matter what happens, you have to pick yourself up and get the job and task that you were assigned done. And sometimes it's not the perfect situation, and sometimes they're great situations, such as birthdays and getting married. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. So this is one of those examples there. But I mean, I am excited. I want to be number one. I have that driving factor. I'm tired of even talking about the title, because I mean, that was like back in February. I felt like I earned that shit. But you know, everything is just a step closer to showing and defining who I am and getting closer to that legacy.
What I found interesting about this fight is that it got officially announced by BKFC right around Halloween. So that was like less than 2 weeks ago. When did you find out this was a thing? Because it seemed like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I did. It was crazy. I really wanted to fight. And I know Taylor, I was really thinking it was going to be Taylor. And I know Taylor's fight backed out. And I was like, well, hey, I'm ready. So I kind of had my mind and set, you know, going forward with that because I know the fans want it. And then all of a sudden someone tagged me in this video. And it was Pearl Gonzalez. And she was going off about some girl. And I was like, oh, it's not me. But it was me. So that had to be addressed pretty quickly. You know, so I made an interview after I fought Jenny Savage. And, you know, basically in the interview, I said Pearl would be an easy fight for me, which I'm definitely still not taking that back. But as far as me saying that she's scared of me or anything like that, that's a little far-fetched. She's a good fighter. She's, you know, she's been in the fight game and she has a lot of experience. But then again, been there, done that, you know. Paige was that too. And to me, it seems like these fighters that have talent realize it, they get exposed, and then they go to OnlyFans and they're like, yay, you noticed me as a fighter, but let me go ahead and use my fight money to get fake tits and to get a fake ass or to get fake nose. And, you know, now it's like, well, what's really your priority? What you look like or being a fighter? So to me, she kind of falls in one of those categories. She's not somebody that I feel like is going to be 100% dedicated to the fight game when, you know, it's kind of sad. Like some other people, like friends I have, they get hooked on this OnlyFans. And what do? They spend like hours and hours in front of the camera and talking to fans and doing whatever they fucking do on there to make money, you know? And I'm not knocking it, but again, this is fighting we're talking about. And to be the best is one of those things, like I was just saying on this last interview, you got to eat, breathe, and sleep it. And it's very hard to do. And it can be a very demanding, very lonely road in fighting. So I'm just super lucky and fortunate that I hit the lottery with Joey, because we do that. We both have that mentality. We're both super physically strong and mentally strong and have the same passion on being the best. We have the same passion in combat sports, and damn, we're in the same promotion. But you know, that gives me, again, even when I got 30,000 followers or, you know, XYZ on variables, you know, I'm still not out there creating an OnlyFans site or an exclusive site or, you know, wearing lingerie in every pic that I post, because I'm really in the gym training and I really respect myself. And I really think that I need to be focused on being a wife, a mother, and a fucking damn good fighter.
So much to unpack from what you just said there. The first thing I would say, do you remember that interview when you said that she was an easy fight? Do you remember who did that interview with you?
Yeah, I do.
Was it this guy right here? Because it was this guy right here. Yes, I remember that interview. I was going to ask you about it, but you did it for me.
I should have said that. Yeah, now I'm like,
it's all right. You do so many.
It's you that made the interview famous. So really, I should be thanking you and saying that you're the person behind this fight, really.
I asked you about it, and that's the answer you gave me. And you were very honest, and you're always very honest. And you know, you mentioned something that I found kind of fascinating, because you've had a crazy year. You had the Paige fight, Knuckle Mania was massive, BKFC 19, that was a massive event as well. Two big wins, two big spots, and now you get another pretty big name in Pearl Gonzalez early in her career. And a lot of people, I mean, hindsight being 2020, felt that booking Paige to fight you in her first BKFC fight was a big mistake. Do you feel that BKFC is making another mistake, giving Pearl a matchup with you in her second fight?
Yeah, they absolutely are. They absolutely are. The only thing I can say is, like, you know, respect towards her. And I don't like to look at other people's shit. I, again, don't have the time to do it. But if you tag me and stuff, I'm going to see it. So, you know, if you want me to see something, tag me in it. But I saw where someone tagged me in something where she said, you know, I'm on my way to Miami to beat or to compete. I don't even think she said beat, but anyway, she said that she was going against the most experienced number one contender at BKFC. And I was like, oh, well, thank you. Yeah, yes, I am. So, you know, yeah, I do think it's a mistake, but I like that she's acknowledging it. You know, I do. I do appreciate that. And again, you know, she has fight experience and she's 1-0 in bare knuckle, but I think that it's easy to go in there and have your first win be like as safe as she played it. It, you know, it's not really seen bare knuckle up close. You know, she worked her boxing and she fought a way shorter opponent. This is going to be a lot different. Again, I'm definitely no sweetheart and no Charissa Sigla. So I don't know. I think it was a bad mistake. But I mean, again, I appreciate the competition because it's like now you're looking at it in the fact of I do have the most experience. This will be my sixth fight. And so any of these pro debuters, it doesn't logically make sense to give them to me. It's not going to be fair. It's just like in boxing, you don't put a, you know, a pro debuter against someone who has seven fights. It just doesn't happen. So what am I going to do? Sit around and be shelved? You know, that's not fair. So for me, it's kind of like expected. Like I can't put any focus on, oh my God, this girl's a big name. Oh my God, this girl's another UFC. Oh my God, this girl's a, you know, WBC holder. Like whoever comes in the sport, I have to be prepared for the top competition and high level because I'm above that. You know, I can't get people with any experience. It's not going to be fair. When I beat them, no one's going to give me the respect, you know, no one's going to give me the respect that I deserve or need. And even it sucks with like Paige, you know, that's, it was, you know, maybe I shouldn't have talked so much shit because I dug my grave in that, you know, because now that she lost to Rachel, everyone's discrediting my win and being like, oh, Paige sucks. She's 0-2. You beat somebody who's 0-2. And it's like, no, not really. That girl was she still was a UFC veteran. She still had fight experience. And the thing people need to look at is money, you know, money. When these athletes and fighters have enough money to get food jobs and nose jobs and have OnlyFans sites, they have money to train, to get massages, to have physical therapy, to have cryo, to have, I mean, you name it, but guess what that stuff is? That stuff is expensive. It is expensive to do. And I have just reached the point in my life where I don't have to juggle working two jobs. I don't have to eat cereal for dinner. Like I just got to that point in my life. So when I say I'm a threat, man, I was a threat when I was sleeping in my car. Just imagine what I am now, now that I have those same access to resources like they do, but I'm using it for still what my main purpose was and to be, like I said, one of the best fighters there is. But you know, she does have a huge following and she does have access to that. And, you know, she does train with the Serrano sisters and that stuff all sounds great on paper. But at the end of the day, you know, it's in here and it's up here.
Another thing that you said was you thought it might be Taylor Starling and that once her fight dropped out, you were like, okay, I'm here, which is surprising because the last time you were asked about this, you both were in sync saying, we ain't fighting each other unless you want to pay us a whole bunch of money to do it. So what I guess has changed to make you so open to that fight now?
Yeah, it did change because, and I'm not mad at her. You know, I still wish her the best. I wish no ill will against her. But you can't say you're not going to fight and then be on social media or whatever and say, oh, well, I'm looking at the Bret Hart fight or I really want the belt. I'm ready for the belt because I'm telling you, I have like possessive, like that belt's mine. I want that belt. And if you're my friend, and I'm meaning this like super on a dramatic, but if you're my friend and that's my belt and you're trying to take it from me, you're not my friend. You're stealing from me. You know what I mean? And it's not, like I said, I'm being dramatic about it, but that has to be my mindset. You know, again, circling back to what this interview is about is like, we're not playing football. We're not playing basketball where we can just shake hands and be done after. We're talking about breaking faces and orbital bones and missing teeth and broken hands. And I don't want to just do that to anybody, you know, like I'm still a person, or, you know, in a compassionate feeling to people, you know, I don't want to just beat up everyone because they said something wrong. You know, I look at it as a sport, but the belt is something that I really want. And if anyone's going to say that they want it too, they're not for me. They're not on my side. So that's just the way I got to look at it. And then all these damn fans are making me mad. So it's really not even Taylor. It's her fucking fans. I can't stand Taylor Starling fans. They, again, you know, like, oh, it makes me sad. You know, like, respect yourself. You know, fucking our mom. You have two boys at home. You're better than that. You know, you don't have to be like all these other girls. Now that the attention's on you, you know, I don't want to get on my thing and see your ass every freaking time I scroll my story. Like, and then I don't want to hear my fans say, or not my fans, but her fans say, Taylor would destroy you. Taylor would smash you. I don't want to hear that shit without it being like, all right, you know what? We just need to settle it and get it out of the way so I can stop seeing it and I can stop hearing it, you know? And especially if she says that she's after the belt.
What a far cry from where we were just a few months back when you were at the press conference together. What a crazy thing. But obviously before that happens, we got to get through Friday. How do we get this thing done? How does this fight with Pearl Gonzalez play out?
Yeah. You know, I'm just going in there and being me, you know, you'll never know. You never know. No, it's going to show up and surprise you, but you know, I do got some points to prove. There is a little animosity and some beef, you know, especially on social media. So, you know, I'm not really the one to fuck with on that, but if she wants to go down that road, you know, and see who's got the bigger dick, so to say, or who can be more gangster, I'm down for that competition. So it's whatever she chooses. She wants to box, we'll box. She wants a chess match, we'll play chess. And she wants to bang, bang.
Fair enough. Two last quick things. One, you mentioned the belts. I know there's been a lot of talks about a 125 pound tournament to crown a champion starting sometime next year. Is that still the plan? Have you been told that that's still kind of the direction that the promotion is heading?
Yeah, I guess so. Whatever plan, like I said, it's a stupid plan, but whatever. I don't make the rules. And I feel like the tournament's been talked about so much, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Because if we were going to announce a tournament, why isn't it announced? Why isn't me and Pearl the semifinals or quarterfinals or whatever freak? What did they just say? Hey, the very beginning of this so-called females tournament. I don't care. Just do something with it. Because right now I've heard it so many times with no action. It's just words. So I'm done talking about what tournament and what I think about it because it's not going to happen. If it is, whatever, you know?
And then last thing, I mean, after sharing the ring with her earlier this year, competing on the same card with her again later this year, seeing what she's been doing lately in the pro wrestling world, finding success there. Do you feel like we've seen Paige's last bare knuckle fight? Do you think she gets back in there again?
I mean, I would think it would be smart of her to, you know, as far as like internally, knowing she didn't quit and finish out her contract, but you know, whatever, kudos to her. She's doing her thing. She's finding her niche in wrestling. And if they like her there and she's happy there, be happy. Like, don't worry about what other people think of you. But I mean, I personally think she should finish it out to the end. And so she has one more fight on her contract, finish it out, get, you know, you're good. She's a good fighter. There's definitely levels to this game. And I think that she should go out with a bang at least and say, hey, I'll finish it, but I get to choose my opponent and choose somebody. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see her one more time. The company invested so much in her and, you know, her face is plastered everywhere when it comes to BKFC. So it'd be nice for her to at least have one win.
Well said. Britton, thank you for the time as always. Means a lot, especially so close to the fight. All the best to you on Friday. Looking forward to this matchup and have fun at the press conference.
Awesome. You know I will.
Thanks, Britton.
All right, bye.
Think Britton Hart's ready to fight? That was some interview. And Pearl Gonzalez, that's some interview as well. Again, you can find that on our YouTube channel before BKFC 22. You'll be able to watch the Britton Hart interview as well. She's walking to the press conference. And big thank you to her. Big thank you to Valerie Lareda. Big thank you to Aaron Pico for their time this week on We Got Next. We'll be back next week. I can already reveal one guest. Adrian Yanez will join us. He's getting ready to fight Davy Grant on November 20th. What a fight that's going to be at 135 pounds. So he will join us. Rest of the guest list, TBD. But we appreciate you listening to the show. As always, of course, UFC Vegas 42 coming up on Saturday. Early start time. Prelims kickoff at 1 p.m. Eastern. Main card at 4 p.m. Eastern. That one's headlined by Max Holloway versus Yair Rodriguez. We got Bellator 271 on Friday. We got BKFC 22 on Friday. It's a busy weekend in combat sports. What a time to be a fan of MMA and boxing and bare knuckle boxing. Just so much going on a weekly basis as we head into the holiday season. So be sure you check out all coverage throughout the week for these events. A lot to be excited about, like I said earlier. And that's it. I am Mike Heck. Join us next week, once again, on We Got Next.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.